Well, it's so good to have each one of you here with us tonight, and we are so glad to assemble on this Christmas Eve. We're excited about a program that we'll have before you. It will not take a long time. When you came in, if you did not get one of these candles, they are available in the foyer, and maybe some ushers can grab a handful of them and make sure that everyone has one. We'll need this toward the end of the service. I'm so glad that you were able to take time away from your busy schedule and come on this Christmas Eve and think about the reason for the season, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we hope to present that in song and with a very brief message. At this time, John Hoxie is going to come and lead us in a word of prayer as we begin our program.
Good to see you this evening. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we love you, and we're so thankful, Lord, we can meet here in your house. And God, we're so thankful that we can lift up, Lord, Jesus coming down. And we're just excited about this time we get to share together. And Lord, I pray that your blessings would be upon us. Pray, God, that you'll speak through the singing to our hearts and just give us a wonderful time together, Lord. We love you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christmas. The celebration of the coming of the Christ child. A big part of our celebration of Christmas each year are the songs that we sing. Silent Night, Joy to the World, O Come All Ye Faithful. And then there's this one. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free, born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king.
Let us remember that these are more than just the words of a Christmas hymn that we sing once a year. This was the prayer prayed for centuries by God's people who were longing for a Savior. And now we rejoice. Their prayers were answered. Christ, our Redeemer, has come. And the story of how and why he came is the story we tell today.
Thank you.
This Christmas, we lift our voices in worship and adoration of Christ, and we are reminded why he came. He came that the world may know that in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind.
He came that the world may know that God loves us so much that he gave his only Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He came to teach us to love one another. He came so that the chains of sin can be broken, and in his name, oppression cease. He knows our need. To our weakness, he is no stranger.
And because he came, we sing sweet hymns of joy, raised in praise to his holy name. We sing so that the world may know.
see me lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark streets shine the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight.
Once in royal David's city
stood a lowly cattle shed,
where a mother laid her baby
in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ the little child.
For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. Oh, morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth.
Why?
O little town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem is such a small and insignificant little city. It probably doesn't mean much to most anybody in the world except believers, those of us who placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bethlehem has a very special place in our heart because we know that to be the birthplace of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about Bethlehem, first of all, in the book of Genesis. We find that Jacob is taking his beloved wife, and Rachel is great with child. But she gives birth to the last of his sons, Benjamin. But in doing so, it's a difficult birth, and it takes her life. Jacob has been passing through the land of Cana, and he buries her under a tree in a place called Bethlehem, Ephrata. Ephrata is a place just outside of Bethlehem. It's about 1,000 steps outside the city. And that's where he laid his beloved wife. Later, we hear about Bethlehem again, when Ruth comes to a city and then is introduced to Boaz, who as her kinsman redeemer will take her as his wife. It's a picture of Jesus Christ being our redeemer, being our kinsman, and saving our soul as Boaz did to Ruth that day. Later, we'll find it's also the city where a little boy named David is born, the youngest of his brothers. It is there that he will watch the sheep. He will watch them outside the city in a place called Migdal Eder. It's a place called the Tower of the Flock. No doubt many a night he stayed there, watching over in an elevated area to guard the sheep his family loved and he loved so much, from the wolves, the lions, the bears. And certainly we know that as a young boy he fought those to protect them. It is also in Bethlehem where he will be anointed as a king, the first king to come from the tribe of Judah. And we know that our Savior is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It is there in the same city that later Jesus will be born in the incarnation, God taking on human flesh to dwell among us. The Bible tells us so many wonderful things about Bethlehem. It's still just a very little city. I've been to it. I've seen the ancient places where the shepherds would watch their sheep by night. On a hillside, you look over a big valley. While we looked over that valley, here comes a shepherd with his sheep behind him, reminding us of how it might have been that very night that Jesus made his entrance into the world. The book of Micah, one of the minor prophets, will tell us more about Bethlehem. In chapter 5 and verse 2, it's going to tell us that Jesus is born in Bethlehem Ephrata, the very place that was mentioned that Jacob pitched his tent after he buried his wife in a place that later would be called Bethlehem, probably about 1,000 steps away from where she was laid to rest, the Tower of the Flock. We're also going to find that in Micah chapter 4, It's going to tell us the specific location of where the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Everlasting One, will be born. And it's going to mention the Tower of the Flock. That's known as Migdol Eder, the Tower of the Flock. It is there that theologians surmise to be the very place that Jesus was laid in a manger. These were no ordinary shepherds by anyone's imagination. These were shepherds that were trained under priesthood. They were priestly shepherds. They had a specific duty. Their job was to raise the Passover lambs. Every year, they say that as many as 250,000 lambs would be used for just the Passover alone in Israel. But to qualify as a Passover lamb, it had to be a very special one, without spot and blemish. It was a newborn lamb. It was a lamb that was taken special care of. I was reading in a book called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It's written by a Jewish theologian, Albert Edersheim, in the 1800s. And Albert Edersheim will say that in this Migdol Eder, this Tower of the Flock, that still stands to this day, its first floor had mangers around the edges of it, this round tower. They said the baby lambs would be born, and unknowns to me, I was just reading that they would wrap those lambs in swaddling clothes and cloth and wrap them up. Never heard of that before. But they said they'd do that, and then they would carry them by cart all the way to Jerusalem, because they didn't want any way for them to be damaged and not be able to be a Passover lamb, because then they were not worth much if there was any blemish or bruise upon them. And they said that Jesus Christ was announced to the shepherds, that they would find the child wrapped in swaddling clothes. Keep in mind, the shepherds knew nothing about the significance of the star, but they do know where they wrapped their lambs. And so they went to the Tower of the Flock. And many Bible scholars believe that that is the place 1,000 feet outside of Bethlehem, where Joseph and Mary stopped because there was no room for them in the inn. But there were mangers there that were used for the Passover lambs. And borrowing one of those, they wrapped their firstborn child in swaddling clothes and laid him in a very manger that was used for the sacrificial lambs. The Bible tells us in the book of John, chapter 1, that John the Baptist points to the Savior, and twice in that one chapter says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the first time he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." What a beautiful picture of Jesus as our sacrificial lamb. The lamb slain, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world. In the book of Revelation, we find that all the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's so many of them, he's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the one that will rule forever. But the number one title in the book of Revelation, mentioned 27 times, is the title of a lamb. A lamb. And that's the picture of our Savior who came to earth, was born in Bethlehem, at the tower of the flock. He laid in a manger. The symbolism is just amazing. No wonder the invited guests were not kings. They would know nothing of a lamb. But the angels invited the very shepherds that were there, watching over the fields of the sacrificial lambs. And they themselves would know us, a lamb without spot or blemish. And so they came and on bended knee worship this babe of Bethlehem who came to save us all from our sin. Any way you look at Christ's birth, it's wonderful. It involves priests like Zacharias. It involves the shepherds as the guests who came. It involves the lowly like Joseph and Mary. It involves the lovely like Simeon and Anna in the temple. And then it involves the kingly, because as Jesus is raised as a young child, there'll be wise men that will travel 1,500 miles by trade routes from the east to worship this young babe as they're already in a house in Bethlehem. You know, forever you and I are going to be able to see the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And we'll ever thank Him and praise His holy name for what He did for us. We have deity clothed in humanity. And not the best humanity has to offer. He came in the most humble form you could imagine. Because God was saying to humanity, I didn't come for the best of you. I came for all of you. I didn't come for the wealthy. I came for the lowly and everyone in between. I hope that you yourself have opened your heart to this babe of Bethlehem, because that's what Christmas is all about. Knowing Jesus Christ is your Savior and knowing that God sent His Son to be that perfect sacrifice for us, that we one day would stand before God Himself with the righteousness of Jesus Christ because we've trusted Him as our Savior. And so we challenge all of you to know that Jesus is your personal Savior. For though He's the Savior of the world, it only does us good if He's our personal Savior. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. It also says that as He is, so are we in the world. We too are a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a little bit like the moon is to the sun. It reflects the light of the sun. But it's a little bit different for a believer, because the sun is within us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ that radiates through us that is the light of the world. In just a moment, we're going to take those candles and ushers are going to be lighting those. And then we'll ask those near an aisle to be able to light the candle of your neighbor. And then Brother Vessel is going to come and sing for us, O Holy Night, and we'll be dismissed. But thank you for being here tonight. And may even during this time, we be reminded that Jesus is indeed the light of the world.
Proclaim His power and glory. wonderful Savior, don't we? We're going to close in a word of prayer tonight. We want to thank you so much for attending our Christmas Eve service here, our candlelight service. Hope that you have some family and friends to join, possibly even tonight or tomorrow. We're going to close in a word of prayer and let you go and hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to take some time on this Christmas Eve to acknowledge the true and real reason for who we celebrate, our Savior Jesus Christ. And no doubt, Lord, as family and friends, we'll have some time together, we'll be fellowshipping, and we'll be opening presents and having a wonderful time. But Lord, it's all in symbolism to you and the great gift that you gave to us. Thank you for our salvation. Lord, I pray you'd help us never forget that day that we trusted Jesus as our Savior. And I pray that your blessings would be upon each and every one here tonight. Lord, I ask that you'd bless each individual, each family, as we go our different ways in this evening and tomorrow. And may all that we do bring glory and honor to you. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas. You are dismissed. Thank you so much.